All right, praise God. One day we'll see him and look upon his face. Aren't you glad these old Adamic bodies are going to be changed? Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful that this old sin nature that we carry, this old vile body, Paul called it. See, I can't even talk. See, I need to get to heaven. Amen. That's what Paul called it, vile. Folks, you look up the word vile. Amen. Vileness comes because of sin. Amen. Because of Adam, we were plummeted into sin. And I'm glad one day we'll look upon his face. But when you think about all that entails looking upon his face, it has to be in a new body. It has to be with this old nature completely eradicated. When I got born again, this nature wasn't eradicated. I still have it, the old nature. I still fight it. And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but so do you. We all have it. We all battle it. We all fight it. We all fail. But I'm glad if just man falls seven times, the Bible said he rises up again. And even though we don't okay sin, if sin don't break your heart, something's wrong with your heart. It breaks my heart, amen. And I can't stand to fail the Lord. But I do. But I know one day I'll never fail him again. Amen. One day I'll never disappoint him again. Amen. One day I'll probably cause him to shake his head a few times. That'll never happen again. I'll be just like him. Amen. And I bless the Lord for that. I'm glad positionally I'm in Christ. Amen. Practically I still have this old vile body and this old nature. But I'm glad, folks, we can feed this spiritual man and starve the natural man, and God will help us, amen. I want you to take your Bibles just for a few minutes this morning, and I'll do my best to follow the Spirit of God. I've got all kind of stuff I want to say, but I only want to say what the Lord wants me to say. Matthew chapter 16, if you take your Bible there, and Matthew chapter number 16, actually, this was where I was going to, you that were there Friday night, I was trying to end up here Friday night, but the Lord took us in a different direction, and I'm glad he knows what we don't, and he knows where we need to be. And actually, this portion was actually backing up and thinking about it. You say, preacher, you done forgot? 2 days ago, I don't know what I preached last week. I'd have to look up online or something, see what I preached. I mean, you understand, days, as a lot goes on. But I was actually going to use this for the introduction Friday night. But the Lord, he knows exactly what he's doing. Look at verse number 18 of Matthew 16. The Bible says it's Christ, and he's talking to Peter. This is a conversation between Jesus and the apostle Peter. And he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. May the Lord add his blessings. Let's pray very quickly. Father, we love you and thank you for what our hearts have failed already this morning in the service. Thank you for every song that's been sung, the anointing and the singing, the choir, the specials, the congregationals. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to sing and uplift our voices into your precious name. Lord, you're worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship. And Lord, we approach your holy throne in Jesus' name. And now I ask now, Father, please illuminate my mind, my heart, my mouth, and me to preach with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, just have your will your way in the message tonight or this morning. And Lord, help us, we pray. Touch hearts, touch lives. You know what we need. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want to read those two verses one more time. And we're just preaching on the church. And I may interject something about revival here in just a moment, but yet we'll follow the Spirit of God. He said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in
heaven. Now, I want to say this on the outset. I'm not trying to cut down or criticize any group of people, but yet we understand that these two verses, the Roman Catholic Church builds their entire theological system around these verses. And they, when they see these verses in Christ speaking to Peter, they believe that the Lord has given this commission of being the first pope in this text to the Apostle Peter. He said they think that the Lord's telling Peter, I'm going to build the church upon you. That's their, and I'm not, again, they need the Lord. They need Christ. And again, folks, salvation, let me say this now. I don't care who you are. I don't care what group you identify with. If your salvation is not Christ and Him alone, you're not saved. And you can get mad about that. It don't bother me. If you try to base, well, you got, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe that Mary's on the same level. That's not right. She called Christ her Lord and she called Him her Savior. Amen. Now we don't criticize, hey, we respect her, but we don't worship her. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. I just want to be sure about that now. Again, I love everybody. And I love you enough to tell you, if you're trying to get to heaven any other way except through the door, Christ said, I'm the door, then you're going to miss it. And so they build their whole theological stand on those verses, believing that Christ made Peter the rock. He built the church upon him and made him the first pope, and therefore gave him the authority to call others or his successors to take his place down through the centuries, and they were the link to God. Folks, again, as much I could say, but time will not permit me, but that's a false interpretation of the verse. Right. However, we understand that Peter, in that text, his name means Petros, or it refers to a small rock or a small stone. He said, thou art Peter. He said, you're a small rock, you're a small stone, and upon this rock. That word rock there means like as large as the rock of Gibraltar. He said, upon this rock, who? Himself. He said, Peter, I couldn't build a church on you. You're unpredictable. You're hot-headed. You run your mouth. I love you and I'm going to use your life, but I sure ain't going to build a church on you. And let's go ahead and back it up. He couldn't build a church on me. If the Lord built the church on Tommy Turner, it'd have died out in 20 seconds. If He'd have built the church on you, you know why the church is still here? Because of its foundation upon this rock, Christ. He said, I will build my church, Christ. And I'll get to that here in a minute. But then in verse 19, here's another verse they hang to. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now get this. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven. Right. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, preacher, what in the world is that? Let me keep reading. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Folks, the kingdom of heaven, if you got time, the seven parables of Matthew 13 talks about the kingdom of heaven. It's talking about the church age and the door being wide open to give the gospel. God is opening the door, and He commissioned the apostles first to carry forth the gospel. And now the church is responsible for that. We're responsible for that. God didn't give Peter the keys to heaven. He said, I'm going to let you open the door to the kingdom of heaven, the next age, the church age that's coming. He said, I'm going to use y'all to do that. So therefore, we understand that the church is Christ. Now, there's several things about the church I want to mention. Number one, I want to talk about the foundation of the church. We done mentioned that. He said, upon this rock, Christ is the foundation of the church. the founder of the church. He said, I will build. Those on the Lord can build it himself, upon himself, for himself. Are you getting that? He built the church upon himself, by himself, for himself. He said, I will build. So we found out he's the foundation of the church. He is the founder of the church. He is the future of the church. What do you mean? He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you understand?
Make sure it wasn't no critter. I had to put a 12 on him. Do y'all understand that had the Lord built the church on Peter, say, Peter, I'm going to use you. You're going to be the foundation of the church. The Lord already knowing that all hell was going to come against it. Knowing that the gates of hell, all hell was going to come against the church. What if he had built it on Peter? You and I wouldn't be here. Peter couldn't handle all that demonic force coming at him if the church was founded on him. If the church was founded on the Pope, we'd be extinct. If he's founded on me, we'd be extinct. But you know why the church is still here? Because it's on Christ. And because it's founded upon Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, that's a blessing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if Christ is the foundation, the founder, the future, and the statement is made, the gates of hell shall not prevail, then we understand there's a fight the church has to fight. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, I know Christ, we in the mystical body of Christ, the church, the saved. Folks, this building we know is not the church. We call it a sanctuary because it's been set apart for the church to come in to worship in. We have rules for this area because it's been set apart. I'll go ahead and say this. We don't have club meetings, outside club meetings here. Huh? We don't have dinners in here. Are you with me? Amen. Now, folks, I don't mind, folks, if you need a little bit of water, you bring a little bit of water with you. We don't have coffee and cupcakes and we don't do. And you say, well, that you're judging. No, we just take it serious about the sanctuary. Set apart. It is set apart. Amen. You can drink your Coca-Cola outside. Or you can drink it in one of these other rooms. Or stand out in the vestibule and drink it. I don't even like that, but I ain't going to say nothing about that. But we set this room apart. But this building is not the church. This is the sanctuary where the church comes to worship God. And that's all we do here. So looking at the local church, the churches, folks, do you understand how many local churches, Bible-believing churches, shut down every year? You know how many preachers quit every year? Do you even understand how many times, and I'm not trying to get any sympathy, and I'm not trying to get any pats on the back. Now, if you want to buy me lunch, I'll take it, but I'm not trying to get that either. But do you understand just how much the devil fights a pastor trying to get him to quit? He'll attack his flesh. He'll attack his family. Hey, he'll embolden his foes to come after him. Sometimes it'll be his familiar friends that'll turn. Folks, if there's ever a time we need to pray for the local church and stand our ground and purpose that we're not going to forget God. Because, folks, left to ourselves, the gates of hell prevail against the local church. Not the church.
God didn't say the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. I'm talking about the local church where the church meets. Y'all understand the difference what I'm trying to say? I hope I'm not confusing anybody. He's trying his best to bring division. He's trying his best to bring in worldliness and carnality, and he's trying his best to destroy pastors' testimonies, and he's trying his best to destroy your testimony in your life, and he's trying his best to do whatever he can. We can't let the gates of hell prevail. And it takes me personally. Folks, you're not looking at a perfect man. And I'm not looking at a perfect congregation. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. That's putting stuff on us we can't do. But I am preaching on striving and pressing. And when we do fall and we do fail, and when we do mess up, and when we do things we shouldn't do and say things we shouldn't say, and whatever you want to put there, that it bothers us. The conviction is there, and the guilt is there, and the repentance is there, and then joy is reinstated. Then we're mindful of those things forever, and we pray about them every day. Lord, you see where I'm weak, and you see where I could fail, and you see what I could do. Lord, put a hedge around my mind, put a hedge around my body, put a hedge around my home, put a hedge around your house, put a hedge around your people. Folks, you understand, and I understand this, but it's so easy to forget it. It's so easy to forget it, how that not only the devil is trying to beat us down and get us out, but there's people watching wanting that to happen. You understand how many people would rejoice if I fell out, lost it all, had to quit pastoring? You understand how many people would say, I knew he was going to do that. I've been waiting on that. There's people hoping that. And not only me personally, but you individually, our church as a whole. Folks, we're working on 29 years. To God be the glory. Do you understand that there's people still? I believe if we bust it up tomorrow and this church disband and disarm, I believe some people resurrect from the grave 5 minutes and say, I knew it, and die again. I told y'all that wasn't going to last. Yeah, that's right. The gates of hell could prevail against the local body as far as what we're doing, where we're at, what's going on. He could prevail. He can't prevail against the church. The body of Christ, hey, we go home. He said, hey, we already been seen there. He ain't winning that. But he could whip the daylights out of this local church. He could whip the daylights out of your pastor. He could whip the daylights out of your Sunday school teacher, your Sunday school superintendent, your choir director, your choir. Hey, he could beat the daylights out of your home, get you out of church if you let him. Hey, if it's ever been an hour, we need to buckle up. I remember the coaches used to tell us, tighten them chin straps up. It's going to be tight. Get in there. It's time we do that spiritually. Hey, we're... Search our hearts, Lord. I mean, even get a piece of paper out if you need to. Lord, where are you at in my life? How much is my concern with pleasing you and putting you first? How much is my concern making sure my children know the things of God, or in the house of God, in Sunday school, in church, every time the door? Hey, how much is that bothering me that they're not right now? How much is that? Hey, I see myself drifting. Does that bother me? Because, folks, I believe we had a point now. Hey, here's how the devil works. With busyness. You know why, Brother Andrew, if you put a $100 bill in your hands as a preacher, if you tell me the sermon, title, and outline of your sermon last Sunday, I'll give it to you. I couldn't collect it. I know, was it Sunday night I didn't preach, was it? We had one saved. See, I'm having to think about that. Well, preacher, that was good service. I know. But life. Life. I have a family. You have a family. I was out of town preaching a meeting. Had shut-ins passing away. Life in general. I mean, just things. And as I stand here right now, I'm just being honest, last Sunday seems like it was a month ago. It seems like it was a month ago. What's going on? The devil is trying to get us so busy that we are not prioritizing. Some of you smart people, what am I trying to say? Half of y'all didn't say it right either. Amen, son. Enough's enough. Don't rub it in. Yeah, you've heard it from her. That's the only reason you know it. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But before we know it, he's at the bottom of the list. We tell you fellas, Brother Tim, then they put us in a house on Lake Greenwood, on the lake. Man, I could get you. And so I threw a fishing rod in my truck, my tackle box. And then I went to Walmart in Greenwood and bought one box of worms. One. Now I got a tackle box full of fake stuff, and I've never seen a fish eat that stuff. They got enough sense to eat the real food instead of fake food. Hey, you help people eat real stuff. They're eating that stuff. But anyway, fry it, bread it, let's go. But anyway, I went out there Thursday morning, and I cast out. And I'm talking about it wasn't a minute. I caught a nice catfish. I mean, just looking at it, looked like it weighed 30, 40 pounds. But actually, it probably weighed about a pound. I took it off, took a picture of it, throwed it back in the water. Yeah. You know, if you ever catch a fish and take a picture, hold it out like that, it looks bigger. But anyway, then it went, but a few minutes later, I caught a nice brim. It was, I'm not exaggerating. It was as long as my hand. It was wide as my hand, half my hand. And I felt, you fishermen know, I felt the power. I could feel it. Amen. Man, I mean, it was about to take over my whole thought process. I was down there praying. I've been going down there praying, getting with God. And they started hitting. My wife had then come down there, and I told her, I said, I ain't getting started. And I dumped the rest of them, and their worms in the water, got my stuff, went back to the house. I didn't go back down there because I know me. I'd probably rent that whole meeting. If I'd have gotten a covey of fish and then trying to be spiritual when I got to church. Nothing wrong with going to fishing, but I knew me. Amen. I'd have run back up to the house at 6:30. Said, we got to go to church. I got to get ready. Ain't prayed, ain't read my Bible, ain't done. Hey, there that word comes again. Where's your priority? See, I got it better that time. Amen. And we cannot allow. Nothing wrong with any, nothing wrong with fishing. I love to fish. Don't get to do it two or three times a year. And all that, feel sorry for me, all that stuff, go ahead. But where's our priorities? We put things and not realizing that it's the gates of hell that's coming against us. We think the gates of hell, we think bombarding and awful pain, bombs going off spiritually. It ain't always that. Yeah, that's right. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little things. Satan will get up and tell you a lie. So-and-so don't like you. So-and-so's against you. Well, maybe I'm the only one that happens to. Or, you know, he'll bring. Hey, Satan, if you got a sin in your life that you've dealt with and repented, and it keeps coming back, that's not the Holy Ghost. I promise you that. That's the devil. And then all of a sudden, you know, things start happening and you get so tied up and wrapped up in life, the devil will make sure every activity known to man comes your way that you can be a part of. He does it for one reason, to draw you away from the Lord. And the gates of hell are prevailing against you. The gates of hell are prevailing against you. The gates of hell are prevailing against me. God, help us. Help us. Help us. You remember the prodigal son. Now, I understand that's a parable. I understand that's a parable about salvation. But there's an application that could be made there to the Christian. He finally did what? He came to himself. He came to himself. You know, sometimes it takes you falling to come to yourself. It takes you messing up. You say, preacher, how you prove it? That's what it took him.
That's right.
It took him completely getting away from the Father to come to himself. Folks, Romans 8:28 even applies in that verse. This know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Even when we stumble and fall, something good can come because it'll cause us to come. We don't realize how far we've drifted or how far we've drifted or where our mindset has been. Then God will let you, He'll let you hit the ground. You heard the old saying, it ain't the fall that gets you, it's a sudden stop. And the Lord will bring you to a sudden stop. He'll jolt you. He'll allow you to get out there and get out there and get out there. Then all of a sudden, you fell flat on your face. And then you'll come to yourself. Church, I don't want to get... I have got that far. And God's had to really drop me, so to speak. And I promise you, that's one of the most miserable things as a Christian you'll ever go through. You want to bury your head. You'll say, Lord, just come take me to the... Just come get me. I mean, I'm not worthy for anything. And He'll settle you down and get your attention and get you to a place of repentance and then get you to come to yourself, get you to repent and get you back, like the prodigal, where you need to be. Where you need to be. But maybe you're here today and you are just on the drifting side and you don't realize it's the gates of hell that's trying to prevail against you and you pull out here and you pull out there. Folks, can I say something to you? You'll never, ever be in a place in your life where you won't have an enemy. I'm quitting my job because so-and-so don't like me and they give me looks and they talk about me. Go ahead and quit. Go get another job. And you might be there 2 weeks and that they're going to be somebody else doing the same thing.
That's right.
Well, so-and-so at church don't like me and so-and-so at church and I'm going to go to another church. Go on. But it'll be the same thing.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? It'll be the same thing. I don't get to do this, do that, and the other. You go to another church, it'll be the same thing.
Right.
Be the same thing. Preacher, what are you trying to say? Know what the will of God is, put Him where He's supposed to be, and let everybody else do what they're going to do.
Right.
Because they're going to do it.
Right.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Man, I didn't even get to my message. I preached 3 days there and didn't get to a message. Don't look like I'm going to get there today. Unless I want to stay another hour. Don't nobody ask spiritual. You know you don't. The promise of the church. The people of the church. You understand the word church is in the Bible 115 times. And 114 of those times it means ecclesia, called out assembly of believers. That's what the church is. Ecclesia, a called out assembly of believers. Then we have the power of the church, Acts chapter number 2.
See, the promise of the church, the Lord made it in this text. The igniting of the church began to move in Acts 2. Hey, when the Holy Ghost come. The production of the church. What's the church supposed to be producing? Number one, supposed to be preaching Christ, producing converts, preparing Christians, and praying continually. That's the production of the church. That's the only thing we ought to be, the only thing will be consuming us. Not popularity, not cliques, not groups, not this. Preaching Christ, producing converts, preparing Christians, and praying continually. The praise of the church. If anybody ought to be praising God, it's us. We've gone from praising to pouting. Everybody's pouting about something. Everybody's pouting about something. Don't like this, don't like that. That person don't this, that person don't. Hey, quit doing that. That's baby. That's you're showing that, you're showing your carnality, and you're showing how infant you are spiritually. Then the problems of the church. Satan fights, saints are faithless, and servants are few. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. Satan's fighting. Saints become faithless. And when Satan fights and we allow Satan to get us faithless, then we won't serve. Servants are few. Servants are few. Second Chronicles, and I'm closing with this. Second Chronicles, y'all know the text. 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's three things that I want to show you. Number one, quickly, I'm going to run through them. The recipients of revival is if my people. Folks, revival's for us. To revive us when we've got callous, we've got cold, we've got careless, we need revival. I'm not talking about a series of services. I'm talking about a spiritual awakening within ourselves. Then we see repentance for revival. Repent of what? Pride. He said, humble yourselves. There's too much pride in us today, folks. The Bible said, take heed. He that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Too much pride in us. I'm talking about myself. Hey, God has to work on my pride. And you know how you do that? By letting me hit rock bottom. See, that prodigal son left out, give me. That's pride. Give me the portion of the goods that belong to me. That's pride. Give me what I deserve. That's pride. I'm better than that. That's pride. And he went out, and God let him hit rock bottom. You know what he done? He humbled him. Humbled themselves. Then we repent of prayerlessness. He said, pray and seek my face. Apparently, they ain't been praying and seeking God's face. What have we? Repent of pride. Repent of prayerlessness. Repent of perverseness. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their... Folks, you understand, when we think about wicked ways, our mind automatically goes to open, gross sin of some kind. And that is wicked ways. But anything we do against the Lord, anything we do in the disobedience to God is wicked ways. As a matter of fact, you understand that I repented... Once when I got saved, I turned to God and repented. But you understand the Christian life is daily repenting. Not for salvation, but just because we're in these old bodies. I mean, we carnal. We need to be repenting every day. We ought to have a spirit of repenting, Lord. Everything, we ought to be conscious of everything we do in disobedience to God and repent every moment. Not to be saved, but because we are. The recipients of revival. Repentance for revival. Then reward of revival. Response from God. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. Reinstatement of fellowship. I will forgive their sin. Refreshing of joy. I will heal their land. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. But we can't get to the reward until we go through the repentance. We've got to go through the repentance or we'll never get to the reward. Folks, even as Christians, ain't none of us would want our daily walk and our daily mess ups and our daily thoughts that we put on those screens. None of us would. None of us would. Oh, I don't care. Well, pride would be flashing at your name. I'm not talking about walling, living daily in sin, living ungodly, but folks, just missing the mark. Thinking, saying, doing things that we know God's not pleased with that. We know God ain't in that. And if it don't break your heart when that happens to you through the day, if it don't bother you, if there's not an overwhelming thing of guilt in your heart, we need to get our heart adjusted. And I've had to get my heart adjusted in my life. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not trying to put my life on display. I'm just telling you this, that none of us are above reproach, and none of us are above rebuke, and none of us are above repenting. Help us, Lord. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Courtney.